And did you hear on my mind every hour of the day without your sweet inspiration?
Everybody, it's Tuesday night. Once again, it's 7 p.m. on the left coast, which means it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson welcoming you to an entire hour of sweet conservative inspiration. You can interact, like I tell you every week, with comments and questions on Twitter during the show. I know some of you had to switch over from the State of the Union. Thank goodness we've got DVRs, TiVo, what have you. We can record that, listen to the speech later. But I've got two guests that you don't want to miss. My first guest tonight is Don Fetter. Don Fetter was a Boston Herald editorial writer and syndicated columnist from June of 83 to June 2002. For 19 years, his column appeared in the Herald. That was New England's and is New England's second largest paper. Fetter is the 69 graduate of Boston University College of Liberal Arts, 72 graduate of Boston University Law School, admitted to practice law in New York and Massachusetts. He's also World Congress of Families Communications Director. I left out a lot, believe it or not. There's a whole lot more to his bio. It's up on the show page after the show. Go back and read it carefully. And also, one of my favorite things, Don is a contributing author at barbedwire.com, where I'm an editor, and I just have the joy of editing his pieces every once in a while, which means I have to do almost nothing but schedule them because his writing's that good. Don Fetter, heavyweight that you are, thanks so much for taking time to be on the show.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Tammy.
I've been reading your stuff for a few years now as my in my role as editor there at Barbed Wire, and I love it when once in a while you have a piece out. You don't do it as often as you used to, but you do get them out there. You don't hold back, and I like that. People tease me of being like Mary Tyler Moore saying, I have spunk. So I like anybody that's got a spine and a firm stand and great worldview, and that's you. Don, I noticed that if anyone Googles you and they look at something like Wikipedia, it's got, that bastion of all things conservative, I kid. It's got some factual stuff in there, but then there's a section, I don't know if you've seen it, titled Controversy.
And I have, as a matter of fact.
And you know what they try to do. They try to paint you as a racist, but that's what the left does.
Oh, sure. That's their fallback position. You know, 100 years ago, they used to say patriotism was the last refuge of scoundrels. Today, it's charges of racism. You can't win an argument any other way. You know, accuse your opponent of racism.
Yeah, that's the way it goes now. One of the citations in that section said, Fetter wrote a column on Puerto Rico statehood for the Boston Herald in 1998, which Hispanic groups condemned as racist. Now, there's no facts. There's no citations from the actual column itself. Just the note that Hispanic groups condemned your column as racist. So, as you said, that's what the left does. They can't persuade people on the merits. They pivot to the ad hominem attacks without substantiation. That's what happens. Don Fetter, I wanted to have you on the show to talk about a couple different subjects. The first being your recent speech and article that we've got up at Barbed Wire, The View from Sinai, A Jewish Perspective on Abortion. And I have that linked on the show page. So people looking at the show page, everything we're talking about tonight is linked there or posted there, embedded or something. You begin the article. When I was a boy, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, my favorite TV shows were The Adventures of Superman and The Lone Ranger. Remember the way The Lone Ranger opened? Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past came the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again. Well, apologies to the masked man and his faithful Indian companion, but those days of yesteryear often weren't that thrilling. In antiquity, they frequently were barbaric, bloody, and brutal. You go on to talk about the peoples, the Carthaginians, Etruscans, Canaanites, Celts, Aztecs, Incas, and Hawaiians, how they sacrificed adults or babies to appease their gods. We know this about a lot of ancient cultures. The point you're making, Don, is that contrary to revisionist thinking, ancient cultures did not honor life and were not all that civilized.
No, that's true. Even the best of them, and the best of them would probably be Greece and Rome. Life was cheap even there. You know, the Romans were addicted to these brutal, bloody games in the arena. The Greeks would often leave children they would expose children who were unwanted or who were born with deformities. They'd be left to die or eaten by wild beasts. And these were the best of the ancient cultures. The point that I was trying to make, Tammy, is that prior to Sinai, prior to the advent of Judaism and then later Christianity, life was cheap. There were no standards. You know, you couldn't say that people have a right to life, or have a right to express themselves freely, or have a right to choose their religion. Human rights didn't exist. Everything was based on power. The powerful ruled, and the people without power had to do the best they can. And then, of course, 3,000 years ago, there was the encounter at Sinai. And a lot of people think of it, well, you know, there's Charlton Heston went up to the top of the mountain and got the Ten Commandments, and people were doing silly things with a golden calf at the bottom of the mountain. It wasn't just a historic incident. It wasn't just God communicating certain laws, although he certainly did that. It wasn't just the giving of the Ten Commandments. And by the way, it wasn't the Ten Commandments, just the Ten Commandments. It was the entire Torah. It was the entire five books of Moses that were given at Mount Sinai. But it really was revolutionary, because after that, people began thinking in terms of the right to life, human rights. The founding fathers called them unalienable rights. I hope this won't be considered extreme, but really that's where Western civilization started. Western civilization didn't start in Europe. Western civilization started at Sinai.
Yes, I agree 100%. And I know my friend Hugh Hewitt often talks about the different Western civilizations that you really need to study to have a well-rounded view in life. And he starts with the Jews. and absolutely right. In the article you write, "Not until Sinai, with its positive and negative commandments, did the concept of human rights appear. The Torah tells us that God created man in his image, that as he is holy, we were to be holy, that we were to treat others as God's unique creations, not as objects to satisfy our desires." And a little side note, when I think of that, objects to satisfy our desires, and as we have gotten farther removed from those foundations, which is why you write this, to remind us, to try to bring us back to this. But as we become farther and farther removed from that foundation, that Judeo-Christian worldview, we have things like the Harvey Weinstein and everything else going on, where people are not being treated as God's unique creations.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's ironic. So many people in Hollywood today are decrying the scandals, Harvey Weinstein being only one of them.
Right.
But it's Hollywood that has debased the country's moral code. You know, it's Hollywood that has taught men that women are there for their satisfaction. It's hard to imagine anything more hypocritical than that, with the possible exception of Hillary Clinton at the Grammys, you know, reading from a book about sexual abusers, you know, maybe next year at the Grammys she'll read something about how her husband raped Paula Jones and how she helped to cover it up.
Yeah, tell the truth for once, will you? Hild the pill?
Yep.
There is so much hypocrisy, but you look at things that are wrong with society, and the devaluing of life is one of them, and those things happen as we get farther and farther away from God's precepts and principles. We have the instruction manual. We know how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to attempt to act, and if we ignore it, things go badly. Unfortunately, the tremendous influence of the Ten Commandments, what it had on the United States, is waning. And this is something you write that I thought was very, very good. Today, the vision of Sinai is being rapidly replaced by another vision. During the Second World War, Winston Churchill warned that an Axis victory would herald a new dark age made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of perverted science. When abortion was legalized in New York State prior to Roe v. Wade, the great Talmudist Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik predicted, if you kill a fetus, a time will come when even infants will be killed. Been there, done that. Absolutely. Indeed, Don Feder, Judge Bork wrote about the problems in Slouching Towards Gomorrah. Dr. C. Everett Koop and Dr. Francis Schaeffer warned of the slippery slope vis-a-vis abortion. We are reaping the whirlwind that was sown with Roe v. Wade.
Yes, we are, and you know we really haven't reached the bottom yet. I'm not sure we ever will. You know, first it was abortion, then it was euthanasia, doctor-assisted suicide, infanticide, selling the body parts of aborted children. It's just, you know, the horrors just proliferate.
They do, and I have been encouraged as I've been meeting more and more young people who are pro-life. I saw the March for Life, and indeed, when you gave the speech.
Hello? Hello?
The 405. Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
On the 405.
To be fully fit, you have to be physically fit. You also have to be mentally fit.
I wish that more warriors would realize how important it is that you get the psychological support that you need so that you can focus on the rest of your life.
I think it takes strength in order to admit that you have an issue, but it also takes intuitiveness of a friend, a leader, a supervisor to pick up on the signal that the soldier is having issues and needs to seek professional help in dealing with it.
It's also important for the lowest possible levels of leadership to be very supportive in helping their members get the help that they need.
When I went to get help, I had more help than I could ask for from my entire command.
It's sometimes challenging to come to a senior staff member or senior officer in the unit with a problem. There's not a commanding officer out there or a leadership staff out there that doesn't want to help. So don't hesitate. Come ask.
Learn more by visiting www.realwarriors.net or calling 1-866-966-1020.
B his first day back in a bed, not surrounded by hospital monitors. B his first awkward dance at prom, his interview at his first real job.
When you join the Be the Match Marrow Registry, you unlock the power to save a life and all the living that comes with it.
Be his memory of warm summer nights surrounded by fireflies. Be his tent beneath the stars, his perfectly sharpened marshmallow stick, and his first burnt marshmallow.
Go to BeTheMatch.org to find more information on the power inside you and the life-threatening diseases that power can heal. With a simple swab from inside your cheek, you'll be a registered marrow donor.
Be his freedom on the open road, his first traffic ticket, his first, and if he can help it, his last, opera.
Thousands of patients, young and old, are searching for a match. Be the one to save a life. Take the first step at BeTheMatch.org.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
You shine like a star. You know who you are. You're everything beautiful. She's hot, hot like the sun. The loneliest one.
Jackson with my guest Don Fetter. We had a little interesting episode there in the digital universe, but we're back. If you're just joining the show, Don Fetter was a Boston Herald editorial writer, syndicated columnist from June of 83 to June 2002. Read the rest of Don's expansive bio on the show page. We've been talking about the sanctity of life. Don gave a fantastic address to a pro-life gathering corresponding with the National March for Life up in Massachusetts. And the article that corresponds with that address he gave is titled The View from Sinai, A Jewish Perspective on Abortion. It's fantastic. I've got it linked on the show page. You need to read it. But Don Fetter, you're the World Congress of Families Communication Director. I have the site linked on the show page. And
well, Tammy, I'm sorry. I hate correcting the host on a radio show. I'm not the communications director.
Oh.
I was at one time. Now,
okay.
Now I'm the coordinator of regional conferences and coalitions director.
Oh, good. Okay, now I know. I'll get that changed on the show page and get it up to snuff. So it's good to know. And marriage is a big deal. We wrote about this a little bit offline. My friend Paul Kanger at Grove City College, he writes in his book, Takedown, From Communists to Progressives, How the Left Has Sabotaged Family and Marriage. The far left has remained undeterred, faithful to its rebellious roots. It has long been hell-bent on taking down the family, especially over the last two centuries. And then he continues after mentioning gay marriage and says, once advocates of same-sex marriage succeed in redefining marriage as anything but one man and one woman, there will be no end to the redefinition. And you gave an address to the World Congress of Families last fall titled Why Marriage Matters. At the beginning of the speech, you quote an unlikely source, Raquel Welch, who said, I'm ashamed to admit that I myself have been married four times and yet still feel that marriage is the cornerstone of civilization, an essential institution that stabilizes society, provides a sanctuary for children, and saves us from anarchy.
Raquel Welch is... your people with long memories may recall, was the symbol of the sexual revolution. In the 1970s, I think the readers of Playboy voted her the most desirable woman in the world. Even she can see what the sexual revolution has done to the family and to society. You know, certainly what's called same-sex marriage, which is an absurdity, is a problem. But there are other problems. It's not just same-sex marriage. It's the fact that so many young people today aren't getting married. They're living together. They're hooking up, as they say. They're not getting married. I came across this statistic recently that I found startling, Tammy. I'd like to share it with your listeners.
Yes.
In 1960... 72% of all adults in the United States were married. By 2008, that figure had fallen to 51%. Even more telling, among people in their prime childbearing years, and that's 18 to 35, 65% were married in 1960. 65% of the people most likely to have children were married in 1960. Today, that figure is 26%.
Yes. Wow. I read that. You shared that article or speech with me, and I'm going to link it to the show page afterwards. But I was just flabbergasted by that. And you also write in there, the flight from marriage is the principal cause of dramatically falling birth rates or demographic winter. Every Western nation now has a below replacement fertility, in many cases well below replacement. Indeed, the decline of fertility parallels the decline of marriage. And here's another statement that I really appreciated in your speech, and it echoes something that I've been saying for decades since hearing a psychologist talking to Dr. James Dobson, and you write, the abandonment of marriage has led to a loss of social cohesion. Marriage tames destructive male instincts. The most potent force for social chaos is unattached males in their teens and 20s, and you note, Don Fetter, married men and women are healthier, happier, live longer, and are more successful than those who are unattached.
That's what my wife tells me. I'll tell you something interesting, Tammy. Several years ago, there was a conference in New York, a group of sociologists talking about, you know, do we really need marriage? Is it an essential institution? Now, this was in Midtown Manhattan. The conference ended about 5 o'clock, and as soon as it ended, everyone who attended the conference ran for a taxi. They didn't want to be on the streets of Manhattan at midnight. What were they afraid of? Well, you know, bottom line, They were afraid of men who weren't married. They were afraid of young men who weren't attached, young men who didn't have women to tame their anarchic instincts. And, you know, the irony is, here's a group of professionals who are talking about whether or not we need marriage, and then, of course, the conference ends, and by their actions, they demonstrate why we need marriage.
Yes, and the psychologist I heard talking to Dr. Dobson, he was saying some of the very same things. He said, it's amazing, you take that male in that given age group, they've got the testosterone, they've got the strength, they've got all this energy that is non-directed. And what happens when they meet a female and they get married and they live the straight life? They become typically more conservative. It directs that energy. Suddenly, they're protecting and taking care of a woman and then possibly a child and children, and they're saving money and getting a home. Everything directs them in a very positive direction that is protective of children and spouses and very, very positive, as opposed to just all this frenetic energy with no direction whatsoever.
Well, our country is becoming more fragmented, Tammy. I think everyone acknowledges that. You know, you have people who are increasingly isolated. You know, they stay in their homes. They're on the internet constantly. They're in chat rooms. They're playing video games. But fewer and fewer seem to be making connections. And one reason for that, of course, is the decline of marriage. If you're married, you have to be part of society. Because you have a wife, you're going to have children. The children go to school. You know, you want to be involved in the community. You want to live in an area where you'll feel your children are safe. That's what marriage does, not just for the individual, but for society. You know, a lot of what I like to call the marriage deconstructionists, you know, will say, well, how can you tell me who I can love? How can you tell me that I can't marry someone of the same gender or the same species? Marriage, you know, marriage is more than connection by individuals. Marriage has a value to society. It's a social institution. It's not just a contract between two individuals. But, you know, one reason that marriage has always been regulated by the state, by the government, is the recognition that it's more than just individual. Society is also involved, because good marriages, good families bring stability to a society.
Yes, yes. And the address that you gave, you in it, you list seven arguments against deconstructing, redefining marriage and getting rid of marriage. And they're very, very good. I want people to look at them. And then towards the end of your speech, you note, almost a century ago, Georg Lukács, a Hungarian intellectual, one of the fathers of cultural Marxism, wrote that traditional culture must be destroyed for the workers' paradise to emerge. Lukács observed, I saw the revolutionary destruction of society as the one and only solution to the cultural contradictions of the epoch. Such a worldwide overturning of values cannot take place without the annihilation of the old values and the creation of new ones by the revolutionaries. This has been the case that when I learned about Hegel's dialectic and et cetera, there had to be some sort of destruction before they could build up the new model. And that's what we see happening right now. Marriage is really, really important, and I'm glad you're making the case for it, Don.
Well, thank you, and thanks for the opportunity to address your audience, Tammy.
You bet. I want to thank you for taking time to be on the show. I've been talking to Don Fetter. He has articles everywhere, including barbedwire.com, Grasstops USA. And Don, I just love your stuff. I'd love to have you back on the show again sometime.
Whenever there's an opportunity, whenever you'd like to have me on the show, I'll be happy to to make time for it.
Very good. Take care, my friend.
Thank you, Tammy. Goodbye.
Goodbye. You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on...
You're on the 405. Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000 or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
You're on the 405.
Jackson Show is brought to you by Rent-A-Computer. An agent from rentacomputer.com can save your company time and money on your next short-term need for a computer, audio, visual, or office equipment rental. Rent-A-Computer.com delivers the rental hardware your event needs to your office, trade show booth, or event venue location anywhere in the United States or Canada. They offer Apple iPads, iPhones, Microsoft Surface tablets, even copiers. So, if you're planning your next corporate event, remember, rentacomputer.com provides a superior turnkey event rental service with one point of contact for clients both large and small. Visit rentacomputer.com or call them at 800-736-8772. That's rentacomputer.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through the show and now joined by my guest, Hannah Strege. Hannah Strege is 18. She's a freshman at Biola University, and Hannah is the world's first snowflake baby. Hannah Strege, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tammy. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Hey, I wrote an article originally for Illinois Family Institute, and then I posted it up at Barbwire, where I'm an editor, and was getting it out on social media. It's titled Snowflake Babies, More Precious and as Unique as Their Namesite. Well, I tweeted it out. A good friend of mine who knows you and your family very, very well tweeted, I know the first one. And then he included your dad, John, in the tweet. And that began a back and forth and contact with your dad. And here you are. I am so pleased to be speaking with you. You just turned 18 on December 31st, didn't you?
I just turned 19.
Or 19. Okay, so I'm a year off.
It's okay.
But, oh my goodness, which is it's so amazing. So it tells us the age of the Snowflake Adoption Program. But Hannah, would you tell your story? I've got a lot of the information on the show page, but people want to hear you tell the story.
Oh, my mom tells it so much better, but here I go. So from my perspective, I always say that I'm the first adopted frozen embryo in the world. And just to say that to any person is kind of a shock, because I know it even it's hard for me to understand after 19 years, but telling someone after a few seconds, I can imagine how hard it is to understand. But basically, my parents, John and Marlene, adopted 20 frozen embryos from a placing family and transferred each embryo a couple at a time, depending on how they were frozen. And I was the only one that was survived the freeze, the thaw, and the transfer.
Wow. Wow. It is pretty amazing. I'm going to share a little bit of, so your parents, John and Marlene, they were not comfortable with creating more embryos through IVF or in vitro fertilization, especially if it meant using donated human eggs. I'm reading the story here. But the idea of using embryos that were waiting in frozen storage was intriguing. Marlene decided to seek out advice from a lifelong friend, experienced adoption attorney Ron Stoddart, and from several spiritual advisors, including Dr. James Dobson, to determine if using donated human embryos would be considered at all. Simply being assigned anonymously donated embryos from a fertility clinic was not the procedure your parents wanted to follow. They worked with Stoddart to develop the first embryo adoption program in the world. It's now known as the Snowflakes Embryo Adoption Program. And the Striegies and Stoddart, so your parents and Stoddart, named the program Snowflakes because, like a delicate snowflake, each embryo is frozen, unique, and a gift from God. The program was officially established in 1997 as a division of Nightlight Christian Adoptions. That is so amazing to even think of that, Hannah.
I know, it's hard for me to think about too, but like the essential piece of the story was how my parents didn't want to create life outside the marriage bond. And they thought that would have been honorable to God because they have to stand before God someday and say, we didn't create life outside the marriage bond. Like we are following the rules that you have set out in the Bible, Jesus, and we want to give these embryos life.
That's so fantastic. Now, the latest data suggests that there are more than 620,000 cryopreserved embryos in the United States. What I want everybody listening to understand, Hannah, is that there is still a great ongoing moral and spiritual dilemma concerning embryonic stem cell research. This is a big, big deal. I know, Hannah, that people like me, in the early 2000s, I'd hear about stem cell research, and I thought, oh, stem cells, that's really cool. I didn't hear that much about embryonic stem cell research for a little while. Mm-hmm. And then it came to the fore with President Bush and these different bills that he was going to veto. And then I heard a little bit about the snowflakes and the embryonic stem cell research, and I was chagrined. So if people listening, if you want to, I'll jog your memories a little bit. On July 18 of 2006, the Senate passed three different bills concerning stem cell research. The first bill passed 63-37, which would have made it legal for the federal government to spend federal money on embryonic stem cell research that uses embryos left over from the in vitro fertilization procedures. And on July 19, 2006, President Bush vetoed this bill. Were you present for that veto, Hannah?
Yes, we were present, my mom and I, for President Bush's first veto.
That's what I thought. Now, the second bill would make it illegal to create, grow, and abort fetuses for research purposes. And the third bill would encourage research that would isolate embryonic-like stem cells without the destruction of human embryos. So in Bush's second term, in July of 2006, he used his first presidential veto on the Stem Cell Research Enhancement Act. And then New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith wrote a Stem Cell Therapeutic and Research Act of 2005. That was signed into law, and that provided money for adult stem cell therapy, umbilical cord and bone marrow treatment. And it authorized money for the collection of cord blood stem cells. And then by executive order, this is where it gets really creepy. On March 9, 2009, President Barack Obama removed restrictions on federal funding for research involving new lines of human embryonic stem cells. Prior to Obama's executive order, federal funding was limited. So President Bush quashed a lot of this, the embryonic. The adult stem cell is completely different. Bone marrow treatment's different. Umbilical cord treatment is different. But what we're against is the embryonic stem cell research. And this is a good reason for people to get to know you, Hannah Strege, because you're a living, breathing human being that started out as one of these frozen embryonic, you were there, one of these snowflake babies.
Yes.
And if you're just joining the show, by the way, I'm speaking with Hannah Strege. Hannah is 18. She's a fresh or 19. She's a freshman at Biola University and the world's first snowflake baby. We're talking about Snowflake's embryo adoption program and, of course, about embryonic stem cell research and the moral dilemma therein. The Snowflake's program is a division of Nightlight Christian Adoption. And if you go to that site, I've got it linked on the show page, of course. There's a verse at the site from the book of Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. There's also another item of interest, Hannah Strege, that I want to bring up. Many of my listeners know who Dr. James Dobson is, and I've met him and Shirley. I listened to Focus on Family for years while he was the head of that organization. But you have a special relationship with Dr. Dobson, don't you?
Yes, I do. He's my godfather.
He is your godfather. Your parents knew him well, and he gave you counsel concerning this, and you've been on his show, I know, at least once or twice.
Yes.
So, and you still remain in contact with the Dobsons?
Of course. We get like Christmas cards every year, and their family's really close to our hearts.
Yeah. Oh, they're a wonderful, wonderful family. And Dr. Dobson has always been a stalwart warrior on the side of life and life in our culture. And I've always appreciated his stance. So, how do you explain the situation, the Snowflake Adoption Program? Do the kids at school know that that's where you came from, Hannah, that you're God's handiwork and you were part of that Snowflake program?
Well, Biola's been very good in introducing me to the public eye. I didn't realize how much media attention I would get after just coming to college because it's my life and it's what I know. But I'm really open with my story, especially to my close friends. And it's a journey, especially for myself and for friends to get and understand. And it's a process for people to understand, too. But all my friends know about it, so it's not a secret.
It's really, really some great stuff. I'm, you know, speaking with you, every child is a miracle, but you are absolutely a walking, breathing miracle that you can teach people about life and about the preciousness from the point of conception on, that this is something God creates and we need to value it and honor life. We really, really do. I'm talking with Hannah Strege. I will be back on the other side of the break and we will wrap up the hour. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robar Companies. They are a true custom firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. They're found online at robarguns.com. I talk about them every week. I'm so proud to have them as a sponsor. Everybody over there, they're good friends of mine. And let me tell you, Robar is trusted by so many of my other good friends who are law enforcement, military, etc. And they demand the best of the best. They have to have superlative firearms with only the best, most durable finishes and customizations, and they only trust Robar. So if you're looking to buy a new custom rifle or pistol, or you want to give your older firearm new life, check out Robar Companies. You can find them at robarguns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Military life is rewarding, but it isn't always easy.
Managing the stress can affect even the strongest warrior.
But I can, I will stay mission ready.
I can, I will
keep my mind and body fit.
Talk to my chaplain.
Seek care early.
Strive for progress, not perfection.
I got this.
I got this.
Take the first step.
There's no better time than now.
Reaching out is a sign of strength. Visit realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
Okay, Hannah, so we'll have about 8 minutes. If you're just joining the show, I am back. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm joined with Hannah Strege. Hannah, as I said before, is 19. She's a freshman at Biola University. She's the world's first snowflake baby. We're talking about the Snowflakes Embryo Adoption Program, a division of Nightlight Christian Adoptions. I want you to go to the show page after the show and check it out. There may be couples out there who have had troubles conceiving and maintaining pregnancies, what have you, that are looking for something. This might be an idea. This might spark an idea. In some of these couples, because they do have these embryos that are frozen in, and they are ready to be adopted. Hannah, tell us again, how many embryos did your parents, did you say they adopted 20?
Yes, ma'am.
20. And you were the 20. One that survived.
Yes.
Wow. You know, I read an article some years ago by a biologist who was very fascinating, and I knew he had been referred, the article had been mentioned, I believe, by James Dobson, but the article was so fascinating, talking about every child that's born, that you really are one in a million, because there are about 1 million things that could go wrong with every pregnancy, and
that's
yet
true.
People have these babies, and I like to say all this for people to understand the wonder of life, that God creates these little ones, and that they are very, very precious. And I want people to know about this because we know that we are up against the moral dilemma ongoing, where we have research facilities that want to push for more and more stem cell research and other research that I believe crosses the line of honoring the sanctity of life. Hannah, one of the things we're up against, if you Google embryonic stem cell research and you go to some place, like every once in a while I refer to Wikipedia, and sometimes it tells the truth, sometimes it says some things and you think, wait a minute, and scratch your heads. Well, under embryonic stem cell research, Wikipedia says, concerning Republicans, the Republicans largely oppose embryonic stem cell research in favor of adult stem cell research, which has already produced cures and treatments for cancer and paralysis. Now, it tends to say that this embryonic stem cell research has so much promise, but that's patently false. And I want to get something out there for people to understand. Dr. Bernadine Healy writes at U.S. News and World Report, in fact, during the first 6 weeks of Obama's term, several events reinforced the notion that embryonic stem cells, once thought to hold the cure for Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, diabetes, that they're obsolete. The most sobering, a report from Israel published in PLOS Medicine in late February that shows embryonic stem cells injected into patients can cause disabling, if not deadly, tumors. The report describes a young boy with a fatal neuromuscular disease called ataxia, and then, oh my goodness, can I pronounce this? Telangiectasia, who was treated with embryonic stem cells. Within 4 years, he developed headaches and was found to have multiple tumors in his brain and spinal cord that genetically matched the female embryos used in his therapy. His experience is neither an anomaly nor a surprise, but one feared by scientists. Hannah, your mom, Marlene, speaks about the snowflake embryos and embryonic stem cell research in an interview, and she notes, these are the same stem cells, meaning the cells by which they obtained you, that scientists want to do research on for embryonic stem cell research. For that research, they want the blastic stage, which is like 100 cells. So Hannah would have been grown in the lab for days until she reached that stage. Then they would have extracted her stem cells, which would have killed her. Wow. Hannah, we need to be informed. We need to let our elected officials know that we do not want embryonic stem cell research.
Correct. I completely agree with you, Tammy. Embryonic stem cell research is essentially abortion. There's no ands, ifs, or buts. That's just what it is. And we all started out as embryos at one point. And just to not value human life like that, that's not what we're meant to do, and that's not how we are to act as Christians or walk in this world.
Absolutely right. I always tell people, if we're going to err, we should err on the side of life. And one of the problems that the people on the supposed pro-choice side, although the baby has no choice, I just want to put that out there, people on the supposed choice side will say, it's so small, it's not even really a baby. And Randy Alcorn, who's a wonderful defender for life, he has a number of different arguments against that. And one of them is, if size has something to do with our value, does that mean, for instance, a basketball player is worth a lot more than, say, a tiny gymnast or a wrestler? We can't use the size analogy. That never works. Somebody that's 5 foot tall is just as valuable as somebody that's 6 foot seven. Somebody that weighs 90 pounds is just as valuable as someone that weighs 290 pounds. And we just can't differentiate like that. Furthermore, with our advanced medical equipment we have now, we can see 3D and 4D ultrasounds. We can see younger and younger in the womb, these babies, and how they are absolutely miracles and babies. So we need to act in defense of these. I'm talking to Hannah Strahey. She's the first of, I think there's about 550 snowflake babies. Is that correct?
Correct. Even more.
Even more. Wow. Wow. Hannah, do you have any idea what you want to do as a career or calling, and does it include pro-life activism?
I think my whole career and calling and purpose is pro-life activism. I'm getting my bachelor's right now at Biola in sociology in hopes of being a social worker, and I want to work in the adoption field and counsel parents and adopted kids like myself in this process.
Wow. It's such an amazing story. You're a miracle that's walking around, and I think God's really, really going to use you mightily. I'll tell you, I have done marches for life. I have worked with the pregnancy crisis centers, and I have yet to find a person, a mother with an unexpected pregnancy, who regretted giving birth. I have met many women who have regretted abortions. And I would say, as a society, if we choose life, we will be blessed. Hannah Strahey, it's terrific to make your acquaintance. I want to thank you for taking the time to be on the show. I pray that God really, really uses you and blesses your endeavors.
Thank you so much, Tammy. You as well.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. It was an interesting night. We had some technical difficulties, but I had two phenomenal guests. I will be back next week with more great guests. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up, to not be silent, to let your voice be heard, because we have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth, and I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do, and the choir sang. Boy, no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence, you can't steal my voice, you can't. Down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time is now. Oh, 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 oh.
silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't keep me quiet. I will bring the noise. Try to beat me down. Tell me to shut my mouth.